at Iowa Speedway. We are getting ready for some IndyCar action once again. This year I am here for the Iowa Corn Indy 250 and speaking with Craig Floss with Iowa Corn Growers. Craig, it's great to be here. In the background, I don't know if it's coming through, but we've got cars already out practicing on the track for tomorrow's race. Just beautiful weekend for racing.
It is great. The sun is shining. There's a light breeze out there, getting a lot of good practice rounds in. Again, it's noisy out here. If you're a race fan, this is definitely the place to be.
Yeah, you'll get your heart rate up, and you don't even need to stop at Starbucks, I guarantee you. Well, this is the fifth year. Tell me a little bit about the evolution, how this has developed, and how it's working for Iowa Corn Growers.
You know, the Indy Racing League took a chance back in 2007 when they converted over to 100% fuel-grade ethanol, and it has been a huge success. So here we are 5 years later, fifth running of the Iowa Corn Indy 250 presented by Pioneer, and these drivers love it. Had a chance last night just to visit with Tony Kanaan and Marco Andretti a little bit, and I'm constantly reminded by them about the power and performance of ethanol. They still like it. With ethanol, of course, you have an increase in power. What that means is less fuel, smaller tank, same weight of the car, makes the car go faster, and they say it smells better. So all the way around, these drivers love ethanol, and this particular platform has been great for corn growers to just show how important that performance is in the engines.
Now, they did have to, or Honda did have, the engine makers had to basically tune engines for this fuel when they moved to this 100%. And they saw, like you said, actually kind of like an efficiency in addition to the power. So they had to lighten their, make those gas tanks a little smaller. And so there were some changes there. How would you describe the state of where we are in the automobile industry for consumers who are seeing more and more that ethanol is being used in their fuel? And we might see that increase here soon, too.
Well, today, E10, or a 10% blend of ethanol and regular gasoline, is pretty much everywhere around the country. Consumers may not know it, but in most cases, everybody is burning ethanol today. And we think that's a great thing. Of course, the EPA, in the course of the last several months, has issued an ability for us to move into an E15, and we're very excited about that. A lot of hurdles to overcome yet, but E15 hopefully available to consumers soon in the next year or two. And there's always E85 available, meaning 85% ethanol, and we think that's also a great platform. And a lot of flex fuel vehicles, more coming on board. We think that's positive for consumers. Important fact right here, study done this spring in 2011 based on the 2010 year, the average savings per gallon, according to the Iowa State study, was 89 cents. In other words, if ethanol was not in the fuel supply across the country, we would be spending 89 cents more per gallon. And here in the Midwest, it's even more pronounced. It's $1.37. It's because of the proximity that we are to the ethanol plant. So what a great thing for the average consumer to have ethanol in their fuel supply.
So what do you say to those certain interests who seem to just want to continue to try to portray this as somehow problematic, that we're starving people, that we're causing all kinds of problems by making ethanol? Even from what I've been reading, it doesn't even matter what the feedstock is, although they really hate corn being used. What do you say to them?
I would say to them, try to get the facts. You know, we live in a world of sound bites, and this is a situation that you can't define in a quick sound bite. And let me give you this example. Today, there is 65% of our oil is being imported from countries, other countries around the world. Most of those don't like us. So tell me, why would we decide to take apart an industry that is domestic, that is providing jobs, it's good for our economy, it's good for the environment? Why would we do that when we know we're sending a huge amount of our money to countries who just quite frankly don't like us? It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. So if folks dig into the real facts behind things, I think it would be very helpful.
Let's just go last here to our current crop year we're in here. Once again, we've seen a few challenges weather-wise in various parts of the Corn Belt, certainly here in Iowa. How do you see that in terms of impact and what we're going to maybe, if we're, all things play out well from here on out, come out of the season with?
You know, we did have a slow start to this year. We had a lot of weather issues, especially out in the eastern Corn Belt, significant challenges trying to get the corn in. We got lucky here in Iowa. We had a week or 10 days where a lot of corn and soybeans went in very fast. Latest statistics that I saw, and of course we'll have more reports that will be coming out again soon, but the latest was we're still on track to produce a record corn crop. 13.1 billion bushels, I believe, is the number. And that includes, at that time, it was including even the flooding from the areas in the Ohio, lower Mississippi, Missouri River valleys. Devastating for those folks that are in that area. But fortunately, in terms of overall supply, should not have a huge impact, especially if we can get some heat out here.
We would like to have a little bit of heat, although this cool right now is kind of enjoyable if you're going to be sitting out here in the stands, I think.
For the race weekend, we're going to take this 77-degree temperature and enjoy every bit of it.
Absolutely. Well, we are looking forward to another great Iowa Corn Indy 250 race presented by Pioneer, as you pointed out, here at Iowa Speedway. I've been visiting here with Craig Floss with Iowa Corn Growers. I'm Chuck Zimmerman reporting.